know about you, Rebecca, but when I first started coming to Hakone, the sitting was an hour. And it seems like over time we've kind of gotten shorter for various reasons. And so it's nice to sit for a longer time again, and it's challenging. Most places sit either for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, or 45 minutes. So generally it's not a 60-minute sit. But so, I'm going to talk about the posture in Zazen this morning. You know, we refer to Zazen as sitting Zen. And a lot of times there's an emphasis on trying to quiet our minds and clear our minds, and but what we can bring to sitting is really our body. That's what we have. That's what we as human beings are gifted with. And so oftentimes it's said that there's really four meditation postures in Zen. One is sitting, and I'll talk a little bit about that. One is walking, so the kinhin that we sometimes do. Sitting, you know, on a chair, as it were, you know, for whatever reason we need to do that. And then the fourth is lying down. I was at a session in Seattle one time, and there was a woman who had had some physical problems, and she had to lie down. And so she was kind of behind the zazen, but that's what she could do. And the phrase was to lie like a lion. So I've often wondered, what is a lion? I guess they're just lying there, but they're very regal and attentive. They're not sleeping. So anyway, in Zen, I want to read a short passage. So this is from a book called An Introduction to Zen Training, and it's by Omori Sogen. Says, there's two paragraphs I'm going to read. In Zen monasteries, when the beginning monks are unable to endure the pain of sesshin, they become bent in the back and sit limply. When this is noticed, however, they are showered with abuse. What do you mean by sitting like a kneaded cow dung? Senior students use such strong language to spur on their students because they know from long experience how much correct sitting form, actually the effect it has on spiritual activity. Therefore, for those who are beginning to practice Zazen, correcting one's sitting form and sitting with a correct posture are important aims which should not be forgotten. Dogen describes this training as meaning the way of learning with the body. So our body, too, is our teacher. Zazen is kind of an integration of mind, body, and spirit, our attitude, our intention. It is the way of learning by means of this lump of red flesh. The body comes out of the way, capital W, way, and what is derived from the way is also the body. Correcting one's posture is the same as learning the way by means of the body. It is expressed by Zen Master Dogen as Shin Shupu Kai, the whole universe embracing everything, which must consist of training to create a true human body. the significance of the sitting of the body is truly great. So again, I think we tend to just kind of focus a lot on what our mind is doing, and really a whole zazen is also being aware of how you are sitting, the intention of which you're sitting. I think in Reverend Ito's training, you always sat on the cushion and you sat full lotus, and but remember, they started out when they were 12, so they didn't start out as 60-year-olds or 40-year-olds. And so in the United States, anyway, the Zen practice has become a little bit softer in terms of allowing people to sit on chairs or to sit different knee positions. But however you sit, sit aware of your posture. When you sit, most of us, I don't know, maybe you sit full lotus, do you?
No.
Do you sit full lotus?
Very rare occasion.
Okay. So, full lotus is putting, one leg, one foot on one thigh, and then the other foot on the other thigh. And it really creates, the purpose of any of the sitting is to really create like a base that's connected with the earth, and it's kind of like a triangle. So your buttocks and your legs are kind of make a triangle. So even if you're sitting in a chair, be very aware that you're sitting straight on your buttocks with kind of the legs in a comfortable position. It's ideal for the knees to touch the ground. That's really what we would like. For a long time, I sat with my knees up because that's what I could do. But over time, then I'm able to put the knees down. And sometimes what people will do is use the small pillows as a boost. So in a way, it's kind of a loophole, I think. But you've got your knee on the pillow, which is on the pillow, which is on the ground, rather than this gap of space between it. You want to keep your back as straight as you can, but not like military straight. You want to allow that the spine has a natural curvature to it. So you want to kind of imagine, like a connection from the sky, that if you drop the coin into the hole in your head, that it would just go straight down to the coccyx. So and I think what many of us do is, we get tired and we begin to sag our shoulders and lift to the sides and, do different various things. So it's like meditation. It's becoming aware of what you're doing and bringing it back to a good form, as much as you can do. And again, all of us have limits with our bodies, but you have to take that into account. That sometimes it's said no pain, no gain, and you have to be cautious with that. You have to choose a middle way, so you want to be able to push yourself a little bit more, but also recognize when you need to kind of back off. So the ears and the shoulders should be kind of in alignment, and again, whether you're sitting in a chair or sitting on a cushion, or even lying down, that's the position that you want to be having. The nose is just kind of in line with the navel. The eyes, generally, you start out by looking ahead and then shift your head just slightly with the eyes down. And for a long time, I did it with my eyes closed. I think that was a carryover from praying with your eyes closed and things like that. More lately, I've been working on trying to keep my eyes open a little bit. And when I was reading about different things, one thing they said was, when your eyes are open, that's living zazen. when your eyes are closed, it's detached. You're detached from the outside world. You're in your own head. And again, sometimes that's comforting, and sometimes the stimulation from outside is too much. Where you sit, you know, here is ideal because generally it's really quiet. But if you sit at home, just try to have a quiet place, and you know, have the telephone off the hook or something like that. And but just try to have a quiet environment, because that does help our mind calm down a little bit. We have such busy minds. When I was at Tassajara, the Eno, who is kind of the director of the Zendo in Soto tradition, she would sit like this, and I thought, she looks like a drill sergeant, you know. But the more I hear, the more we are supposed to kind of tuck our chin in a little bit. I think when I was first doing it, I was sitting like this with my eyes down, and it is a more relaxed posture. It is easier to maintain if your chin is tucked in a little bit and your eyes are down. So, the mudra is just, you know, again, usually right hand, left hand, holding the left hand in a circle. Sometimes I notice that my mudra is like, you know, I'm pressing on my fingertips, and so again, if I'm aware of that, just relax, it's trusting. And then the other thing that I just learned recently, you know, they talk about the hara, and that the hara is kind of the center point, and it's generally defined to be like a couple of inches below the navel. But this one reading says everybody's hara is different, and so what he suggested, and I've always felt like my hara was above my navel. So he suggested expelling all the, as much as you can, the breath in your lungs, and then swallow. And then where the tension lies, where it kind of ends, that's your hara. So try that, you know, say, just kind of exhale, and then swallow. And see where it lands. Where did yours land?
Navel.
At the navel? Okay. Uh-huh. How about you?
Goes through your mind. Where your mind is thinking it is, that's where it is.
Where your mind be. Do you feel anything in your body?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Above.
I lost it.
I love it. It's something you can try at home, you know. But I never read that. It's a good, you know, because I always felt like I was doing it wrong, because I felt like this was my place, but your fish said below. So, and you want to maintain the position, you know, without a great deal of discomfort. You know, again, there's that finding that middle way of being aware, being alert, of bringing your mind back. Okay, this is my body posture. How do I need to, you know, do I need to put my shoulders back a little bit? Do I need to, you know, am I listening to the size? It's a matter of just bringing it back and making a correction. It is not that you have to learn how to do it the right way and stick there. That's not the idea. But, I'm just going to close all that with one other little reading here. This is Zen in the Brain. It's actually from 1999, and I found it in Missoula, Montana, of all places. But it's really an interesting book, because he talks so much about the physiology of Zen and of Zazen. And so, but on this one page, he says, Ken Wilber, who's I don't know what you'd call him, but he's noted both in terms of science and spirituality, points out that the various approaches to spiritual practice each differ in their special conditions. Zen's special condition involves sitting in Zazen, becoming frustrated by it, discovering the sources of one's own resistance to it, and overcoming them again. So that's that piece of becoming aware, like, oh, you know, I'm, my mind doesn't want to do this, my body is slouching, or, you know, the resistance is not to trust, you know, and so my hands are tense, or my shoulder is tense. So, it is in this very process of being frustrated that one diagnoses oneself most clearly as the source of resistance. And one also discovers ways to draw on one's inner resources against being distracted, against those resistances. So I'm just going to read that last little thing again. Zen's special condition involves sitting in Zazen, mind, body, and spirit, becoming frustrated by it, discovering the sources of one's own resistance to it, and overcoming them. One time I was at a session, and I became aware that I liked to close my eyes because that brought me close to sleep as I wanted. So that was, you know, in become aware of it, and it's like, oh, shoot. I need to keep my eyes open, but I don't want to. I want to keep them closed so that I can border on this transitional place. So that was the resistance. I wanted to sleep. And we can use Zazen to help us see what our resistance is, to where we need to be open, to move forward, and to trust that the river of Zen will take us right where we need to go. So, that is what we have this morning.